Praise the Lord.
My wife deserves a double crown being married to me for 46 years. And all the women, when I say that, they almost always clap vigorously. Hallelujah. Yes, I understand. Thank you, Pastor Dan. We count him as a great man of God, a friend through the years. And Sister Eva is such a refreshing. Her attitude is so upbeat, caring, kind, and happy. And you're blessed to have great leadership here at Husky Christian Center. Okay, now this side's more anointed than this side. I'm going to say it again. You are blessed, so blessed to have these wonderful and selfless leaders here at Husky Christian Center. And we praise God for them. I want to speak to you today, the message the Lord gave me for you, for this church, for your leadership. And it's called the anointing of Joseph. We're going to tell that story today and put you in that story. And then with your permission, I'm going to invite everyone to the altar because the prophetic word today is being a fruitful bough, that God will cause you to be planted by the well to drink of the waters of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to put a blessing prayer on you today. Amen. For the outpouring of a spirit upon your life and family. How many have people in your family that are not saved that you want to stand in the gap for them today? Absolutely. Unfortunately, all four of our children went away from Christ. But then, to the glory of His grace, they all four have come back to Christ and are connected with us in the church and the ministry. So now we're working on this next generation to come into the presence of God and the riches that are in Christ. If you would please, turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph said this to his brothers. And he said, "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This part of the story was the conclusion of a story that began back in the 37th chapter of Genesis. Let me tell the story to you today. Jacob had 12 sons. Mm-hmm. And of Rachel was born Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph's name means adding, means fruitful. The father, Jacob, decided to take the coat of many colors. Bible scholars tell us it was a very elegant coat with different velvet and scarlet and white linen. It was expensive and absolutely beautiful. That would indicate that this man, whoever wore that coat, would be signified as a king, essentially, a man of great authority and wisdom, blessed by God. Well, within the Jewish culture, the firstborn was to receive the double portion, and in effect, Reuben was to receive that coat. But Jacob took it and put it on Joseph, who had great favor in the eyes of his father. There was something about the life of Joseph that moved his father. And so when he put that coat on him, that creates... How many know that God's blessing on your life does create a pushback of envy and jealousy and issues of people that are not happy about it? That's just part of it. Jesus said part of the promise of the hundredfold blessing is you with persecutions. Amen. On top of that, Joseph had two dreams. And perhaps a mistake he made in his life was to tell them. He said, "I saw the sun and moon and 11 stars bow down to me." Of course, he had 11 brothers and a mother and father, sun and moon. Then he said, "I saw the sheaves of the field also bow down to me." And what God shows you in secret perhaps is not something that you proclaim from the housetops.
That's right. Amen.
But the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. Amen. And he will show them his covenant. God does have a intimacy and a vision and a hearing covenant with God that we can have. Amen. One day Jacob said, Joseph, go find your brothers. Where are they? He said, I think they're in Dothan. Why don't you go look for them? And as he was going to this place where they were looking over the herds, they saw him coming. And the brother said, behold, this dreamer cometh. Their voices dripped with contempt and hatred. And then they concocted a plan, an evil plot. They said, let's get rid of him. And we'll tell our father that an animal overtook him and killed him. And we'll bring back his coat. See, they hated him for the blessing. And dip it, we'll say, hey, well, let's just dip that in the blood of an animal. And we'll say what happened. And we're really sorry, Dad, but your son Joseph is gone. So as he came near, the Bible said the brothers came around him. And their hostility took a form of action. And then Reuben said, interestingly, it was Reuben, the one that should have had the coat, but was taken really from him and put on Joseph and said, look, don't do this. Amen. Don't kill him right now. Mm-hmm. He said, so it was plan B. It wasn't a very kind plan, but it was better than the first one. He said, let's put him in a pit somewhere. He was getting frantic. He said, we can't be guilty of murder, man. He's our brother. Mm-hmm. But putting him in a pit eventually is going to lead to his murder, but they wouldn't have to see it. You know, some people have the effect in their hostility to hurt others, but they don't want to be a witness to the chain of events they put in motion. Mm-hmm. So they said, let's put him in a pit. So he convinced them, and the Bible says that they let him down. What was that pit? In those days, they just like today in Kenya and Uganda, where we have the privilege of digging water wells, fresh water for the people and villages. Of course, we take water for granted here, fresh, clean water there. In many countries of the world, it's not. But that pit was a well that was dug to find water, but they didn't receive the water. Perhaps it was misplaced digging. So it could have been 20, 30. Our pits in Kenya and different countries, they usually go down about 30 to 40 feet without machinery. So that's hand dug. But the point is, can you imagine being put in a hole and let down with ropes that goes 5 and 10 and 15 and it's dark? 20, you're looking up through the hole of that well and the sky is getting smaller. Till you finally hit the bottom of it, perhaps 30 or 40 feet, and you can't seem to get, you claw your way out. The Bible says Joseph cried out to his brothers, but they didn't listen. He was alone in that well. But there was something about Joseph's life, his life, that had a contact with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we're mistreated, and we're caused to be lonely, and we're caused to be persecuted for things that we really didn't do that was harmful to others. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. And the Bible says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he's going to teach you and show you things to come. We have a friend in the Holy Spirit. And with your permission, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, come on each of you today. In a seeing and hearing covenant with God. How many would like that intimacy with Christ? You can have it in the Lord. So now their greed takes over. He's in a pit. They're sitting around. They processed what they did. But then they saw the Midianites coming. A band, a tribe. And then, hey, let's get him out of the pit. Let's pull him up with ropes, but let's tie him up again, and let's sell him for a slave. Let's make money off of him. So they brought him up, tied him up, made a covenant deal for 20 pieces of silver. Oh, that reminds me of a story. How about you? Our Lord and Savior was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. So the greed for money took over. Brotherly love took over love for God, took over the commandments of the Lord, overshadowed everything. There's Joseph with the tribe. There he is, a Hebrew. They're walking him with this strange people, didn't know their language, didn't know their culture. How in the world did he start out one day with a coat of many colors to go find his brother, and within a few hours, he's enslaved? Look at this verse, though. You thought evil against me, but God has a plan. God's got a thought. God's got a picture for you. There's people in all of our lives, everyone in this room has at some point been mistreated and been mistreated unfairly. Where did he go? They brought him into a man's house named Potiphar. Potiphar was an educated, a rich man. And the gifting in Joseph's life became to be evident. How many know that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men? God will make room for you. Even when others want to put you down and use you as a pawn. And the next thing we read in Genesis 39, the Bible says the Lord blessed Potiphar because Joseph was there. And he was administrating his books. He was coming up with creative planning. He was helping his business. Again, God's blessing his spirit in Joseph's life, in his life, lifted him in the house of Potiphar. But the devil came another way. When I was struggling in my college years, I called my mother, who was a dear, fiery Christian, said, "Mom, I'm having a lot of trials, a lot of tests this week. Just living for God, living holy, living pure, and worshiping." She said, "Son, you're doing something right. Just keep it up. The harder the devil fights you, the better it's a sign you're doing something right." That's not really what I wanted to hear at the moment. Hallelujah. But that's how she was. Well, the devil came. And he came through Potiphar's wife. And she said, "I want you to lie with me." So there was some kind of charisma of the Holy Spirit in this Joseph that caused him to be attractive to her. And he had the opportunity in the house alone with her. This happened more than once where she, what this was actually sexual abuse, because this man's a slave. She is the wife of the ruler of the house. Nobody tells her no about anything, but Joseph did. He said, "How can I sin against my God and against your husband? I'm not going to do it." And that last time, she got so enraged that she ripped that coat off of him. Now, this was another coat. You know, the devil's trying to steal the garment. He said, "You shall be endued," which means clothed with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The brothers in jealousy ripped it off the first time, but now Potiphar's wife rips off another coat. When Potiphar came home, she said, "He tried to rape me." She lied. Potiphar became enraged. "Put that man in jail. I trusted him, and he betrayed me and my confidence, my trust in him." So he goes from Potiphar's house to the prison. But the Bible says he began to serve food and take care of the other prisoners. Now here's the message for the Husky church today. Joseph's heart was in love with God and with a belief in God's plan. Now watch this. And he didn't let misfortune seep into his life and cause him to be hateful and bitter. Amen. Even when he had every right to be. Child of God today, an enemy that you must root out and continually guard against. To keep a healthy heart is the spirit of unforgiveness, whether it be historically or presently. A spirit of bitterness, hatred that poisons the mind and causes the human psyche to be suspicious and distrustful and hostile. Joseph didn't let these attitudes creep in and take him over, but he stayed in contact with God. Could it get much worse? It did. How many of you have ever been in a place in your life where you thought, can this get any worse than what it is? And then all of a sudden, it gets worse. But God is faithful. Your church, your family, your leadership is a Joseph. You have been planted here in this community by God. There's an anointing on the house. There's an anointing under this leadership. Which means what? Anointing means the smearing of the Holy Spirit on your life that makes you different. There's victory, there's purity here. And I am sure, without knowing the exact details of your history, that you too have been maligned, that you too have been criticized, that somehow people wanted to keep you down and your church in a low position. Because there's this horrible spirit that is still in the world and unfortunately in much of the church today, which is this. You can be blessed. Amen. But just don't be blessed more than me. That's a terrible spirit of envy. Yes, you will be blessed as you follow the Lord and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How did it get worse? Two prisoners came in. The Pharaoh got upset at both of them. One was a butler. One was a baker. Here we go again. The power of dreams. Keep a notepad by your bed. I believe God transmits dreams to us. He prophesied it in Joel 2. He said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And you will prophesy and have visions and dreams. The butler had a dream and the baker had a dream. Joseph had the gift of interpretation of the things of the Spirit. I'm going to pray that on you today. What's God doing? What does it mean? Now, this would be a hard message, but this is what Joseph said to the butler. He said, you've got 3 days to live. And at the end of 3 days, the Pharaoh is going to eliminate you. He delivered the word of the Lord. To the baker, he said, you've got 3 days. But the reprieve is going to come from the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And you're going to be reinstated back into his house. In 3 days, it happened. The butler was killed. The baker was reinstated. But here's where it hurts. The Bible says, and he forgot Joseph. This church, like our church in Bloomington, Indiana, and others, you've helped people. I'll say it this way. We've prayed with people to get good jobs, marriages to be restored, children to get out of jail. We've prayed for people to get out of debt, bankruptcy. Amen. Every evil thing that could happen to a family, we've prayed and we've seen God answer prayer. Amen. Over and over and over. And then we've had people say, Pastor Kim and Renee, God bless you. It's good to know you. Hallelujah. And that's it. What happened to our relationship? What happened to our friendship? What happened to gratitude? What happened to Thanksgiving? But even in that, Joseph didn't let his heart get angry and bitter.
That's right.
He stayed in tune with God. Oh, but the Lord is working. And the Lord is working for you. He's working for your family as you pray. And he's working for this church. Because the Pharaoh had a dream. And it disturbed him. And he saw seven sick cows eat seven fat cows, but it didn't make him stronger. He saw weak, sickly corn eat up healthy corn, but they didn't get stronger. He said, what's the dream mean? He brought in the sorcerers, brought in the witchcraft workers. Tell me what it means. Nobody could explain it. Nobody could understand it. Then the baker said, oh, wait a minute, hold up. There's a Jew. There's a Hebrew man. God shows him things in the spirit. Bring him. He'll tell you what it means. I tell you, God wants to use you. And he wants to use you in the spirit. Because the Bible said, Joseph told his brothers here, I'm getting ahead of myself here at the end, but he said, at the end, he said, look, you meant evil. God meant it for good. To bring to pass to save much people alive. That was a dream of a coming famine. It was a dream of poverty. It was a dream of death. And it was from God to the Pharaoh. They went down to prison. Joseph, get those clothes off. Here, try to get something. Looks a little nicer than what you got on. King, the Pharaoh won't see you today. What? Who? Pharaoh. He wants you to interpret a dream. Great. Okay. But his contact and antenna was up to the Holy Spirit. They brought him in. He needed to be shaved. He didn't look the best. They needed an answer right then. The Pharaoh explained it. And Joseph said, I have it. You're going to have Pharaoh 7 years of plenty. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine. Amen. He said, I encourage you now. Here's the heart of giving. Why don't you begin to save and store up the extra corn, the extra food, the extra blessing, and make sure that when the famine comes, you've got food for your people. And the Pharaoh said, he said it this way. Can we find such a man in whom the Spirit of God is? They believe Pharaoh was God, the incarnation of God, like the ancient Incas here in our hemisphere at one time. They believe Pharaoh was the sun god. But he's saying to Joseph, can we find such a man in whom the Holy Spirit lives in? He said, look, I'm changing your name to Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means a revealer of secrets, a savior of the world. You're out of jail today. I'm putting you at my right hand. You're going to be the prime minister. You're going to help me store up the food. You're going to help me save the people. And I'm giving you new clothes. I'm giving you a chariot. And I've got a beautiful young bride for you. Welcome to Egypt. Oh, come on, people. Woo! Glory. I believe God is saying to Hosky Christian Center, at times you felt like you've been in a pit. Other times you've been lied on. And other times you've had people forget your good works. But the Spirit of God is working in this assembly. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a day. There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a promotion where the Lord said, come up higher. I've got my blessing and my authority to be invested into you. Glory to God. He became a prince. He became a ruler. But there's a purpose in it. You got to ask yourself, why did we go through what we've been through? God has a plan. How the twists and turns, how that ended up, how all of a sudden he's in Egypt. But here was the plan. God knew the famine was coming. Oh, hallelujah. Church, your best days of revival, I believe, are upon you. I believe your best days of winning souls are on you. I believe people being filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the Lord on their life is coming on you. I believe there are divine healings and miracles to come on you, this Ahoski Christian Church, because Jesus is the same. Woo! Yesterday, today, and forever. What Jehovah God did in the Old Testament, the Lord does today in the New. Why is that? Because Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, come in the flesh, the Son of God. We serve the same Lord that Joseph had. Joseph got busy. 7 years went by. Then it was just 2 years into the famine, but they had five to go. Way down in Canaan land. They said, Jacob, Dad, we don't have any food. He said, well, go to Egypt. I hear they've got plenty of food there. He said, well, we don't have much money, but let's go. They didn't know they were on a journey to meet the brother they had thrown into a pit years ago. My God, hallelujah. They didn't know that the man they sold for a slave and loved just a little 20 pieces of silver above their own flesh and blood was sitting on a throne. Only Pharaoh had more power than he had. When he came before Joseph, they didn't recognize him because they remembered his little voice crying out. They remembered his weakness. But now he's in beautiful clothing.
Amen.
He's got bracelets on his wrists. He's got beautiful shoes. And he's just there. He can't even recognize her own brother. My Lord. Don't be surprised when people want to put you back in the past and say, well, I remember when you did this, and I remember you when you did that. I used to have family tell me, yeah, you're just, my family name, however I got it, was Kimbo Clyde. You're just this guy. Oh, but you're missing. God says, no, I've touched you. I've ministered to you. I've raised you up.
Yes.
That's in the past. This is who I am today.
Yes.
Eventually, they're going to see it, though, because God's going to vindicate you. So, got the food, but it was just lasted a short time. They had to go back a second time. It was the second time. That's prophetic of Israel, Pastor. Jesus came the first time and Israel missed him. They're still in a place of unbelief that the Messiah has already come. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches that Jesus will come again. Again, I said he's coming again, and they that pierced him shall see him and mourn for him. He's coming a second time, praise God. And then Joseph revealed himself. He cried. They cried. Then they got scared. Then he played with them a little bit. He said, I want you to leave Benjamin here with me, my full brother. Not half brother, full. Said, no, we can't do, please. Our father, we lost one son. You are the one that was lost. Hallelujah. We can't break his heart again with this one. And so then he put a silver cup in. Benjamin said, okay, go and take him. But he put a silver cup in a sack, which is the type of redemption. And then he had soldiers go chase him down. And they said, they looked at all their stuff and they found a. They said, why did you steal? So he was a little bit of payback time, but he still had the spirit of Christ. And why did you steal this? I didn't know how that silver cup got there. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go get your dad because I want to see my father again and bring the whole family back here to Egypt. My Lord. They got home and said, Dad, you won't believe this. I don't know how they explained that one away. Your son Joseph lives. Maybe they just skipped over the part of all that they had to do with that, but they said, he's alive, he's alive. He said, don't lie to me. Don't give me a false hope. He said, no, I'm telling you, we met him. He's by the Pharaoh's right hand. His name is Zaphnath-Paneah. He's a revealer of secrets. He's in a place of authority, a place of power. Come see your son. Jacob
believed him.
They got their goods and they traveled in a family caravan. Oh, praise God. The Lord, my Lord, I got a little ahead of myself. After he put the silver cup in the bag and had this little confrontation, Joseph loaded their wagons full of goods. And so when they came back and told him about Joseph being there, he said, see all these riches we have? This is an evidence that your son, Joseph, our brother, is ruling in Egypt. I want to share with this church, I believe the wagons are coming for you. The increase is coming for you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. When you buy a house, as you well know, Pastor, you put the earnest money down. You put the pledge down. Put the deposit down. The Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God's got an earnest. So all the blessings we have now is but a small payment, down payment, that God says, you're mine. But the best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Jacob took his family and they came to Egypt. Joseph was there. They hugged. They kissed. His long lost son was recovered. Joseph took his family before the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh says, I've got a place for you. It's called Goshen. It's got the richest land. It's got the best crops. It's got the most fresh water. I want you to live not just anywhere here in Egypt. I'm going to put you in Goshen. Amen. And that brings us to this scripture that I started with today. After Jacob died, the Bible said the brothers got scared again. And they said, Joseph, what are you really going to do with us now? Because we know how you love Dad. What about us? And the Bible said Joseph wept when they spoke that to him. Their insecurity, their fear, their foreboding feelings of danger. But he said, fear not. This man walked in forgiveness. Amen. And the Lord worked through him all the way from 17 years old to age 30 when he became the prime minister of Egypt and went through the terrible trials he went through. But watch this. The Bible says he died at age 110. So from 30 to 110 is 80 years. So that means when we can get through safely the trials and tests that God allows us to go through to help our character, to form us, to cause us to learn to be obedient to him in the face of danger and loss and lack, we can come out on the other side. And God has plenty for us. God has good things for us. God, he said, the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So then Joseph said this as I get ready to close. He said, you know, I'm not in the place of God to punish you. But he said, as for you, you did think evil. We got to address it. We got to say the truth. You thought evil about me. And you not only thought it, you did it. But God meant it to good for what purpose? To bring to pass as is this day to save much people alive. Why are you here? Why are we worshiping today? In the Hosky Christian Center, we are here. You are here. Your pastor is here and his lovely wife for this purpose. People need salvation. Amen. And our purpose that we go through are these trials is ultimately for life to be given to others. We're not just here for ourselves. We're here to heal the sick, win the lost, get believers filled with the Holy Spirit, and to increase the kingdom of God here and now. We're here to nourish our children and spread the generational blessing of faith even to 1,000 generations. Lift your hands with me, please. Glory to God. How many want that anointing of Joseph on your life? Walk in freedom. Everyone that has your hand raised, will you come down as your hands remain raised? As signals to God, let's meet at the altar for a special prayer. Hallelujah. Praise his name. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes, Lord. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Come on down close to this altar.